This is the Capital Connection Unplugged, a podcast dedicated to conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who are shaping the financial world. From Wall Street to Silicon Valley and every global financial hub in between, we uncover the connections, strategies, and insights that drive the engine of global finance. And now, here's your host, Quentin West.
This is the Capital Connection Unplugged. I've got a great guest here with me, Graham Story, today. Now, this guy is a killer in the commercial real estate industry. He's got some Airbnbs. He's looking at some other properties, and he's also a real estate agent. Looking forward to telling this guy's story and adding some value to you. So without further ado, welcome, Graham.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, tell everybody that doesn't know you, like, who is Graham and what do you do today?
Yeah, man. So, just commercial real estate broker. So I don't do much residential. I have some residential investment properties, like you mentioned. But my day to day is pretty much just commercial real estate brokerage. So, you know, I help people buy and sell buildings is the most simple way to put it. Essentially anything that's not a house. And I focus on investment sales.
Gotcha. So what made you get into commercial? Because I mean, I started out as a residential agent, and the commercial side seemed a little intimidating, and the agents were not extremely inviting or nice most of the time.
Yeah, no, I'm super thankful. It was definitely a blessing. I went to App State and I did an internship with a guy from my church who was a residential broker. And I did an internship with him the summer before I graduated. And so I went back to school for the last year and basically had a job lined up with him, thinking I was going to go do residential real estate. And he called me like probably a month before I graduated and was like, "Hey, we're starting a commercial division." And we hired this guy to head it up, who's been a commercial broker for several years. And he needs help because he's got quite a bit of leads. And would you be interested in doing commercial real estate instead of residential real estate? And I was like 22, I think. And I was like, these are both my boss and the other guy who hired me, both very successful residential agents. And I said, if you guys were 22, just graduating, looking back, would you go into residential real estate or would you go into commercial? And both of them said commercial real estate, hands down. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll listen to you and I'll give it a shot.
Awesome, man. And what did your first year look like as a commercial agent?
It was brutal. Yeah, it was really brutal. A lot of real estate, you know, brokerage is tough in the first year. Residential, I think you could probably get started in like 6 months to a year and start making some money. With commercial real estate, the deal timelines are longer. And then you also have to learn quite a bit more, in my opinion. So I didn't make hardly anything in the first year.
Yeah. So what kept you going? I mean, after not making hardly anything the first year, I mean, most people will probably quit. What kept you going?
Yeah, I was pretty close to quitting, actually. My wife and I were engaged at the time, and we were working towards paying for a wedding. And so it was really stressful time. But thankfully, the company I was working with bought another commercial firm in our area in Durham. And they were super well-known, five older guys. So I started working underneath them after about 6 months of doing it just with the other guy. Didn't learn too much. But then after we joined, Pickett Sprouse was the firm's name. And after I joined up with them, I kind of saw what was possible. And they really took me under their wing and mentored me a lot. And that's when it started taking off. I started seeing some traction. So that's what kind of made me stick with it.
Gotcha. So somebody wanted to, you know, become an agent. Would you advise them to jump into commercial or residential? Like, what would your advice be now that you've got some experience in the game?
I think it depends on what they want to do long term. If they want to do commercial real estate long term, then I would completely skip residential because there's not much correlation. If you were to start in resident, like if you had to start in residential, then I would tell you to, you know, maybe go into just selling investment properties, so just homes or like small multifamily, like under four units, because that's technically still considered residential. And that could correlate over a little bit into commercial real estate. But if at all possible, I would just jump right into commercial real estate. And I think the biggest thing with commercial real estate. It's just, and really anything, it's just having a mentor can really speed up your learning curve by a tremendous amount.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was my issue, when I wanted to get into some, commercial deals. I was an agent and I had a couple listings that were commercial. They never led to anything. I pretty much just took whatever was given to me. They were honestly terrible properties. And one of them ended up getting condemned while I was listing it. So that was great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, fun stuff. But I really had nobody that could tell me where to go, how to do it, what was involved. I mean, I basically had a residential broker that was trying to tell me how to do commercial, and they had no idea. And so it was definitely intimidating starting out knowing absolutely nothing. So especially for like commercial agents, like some people might be listening that are commercial agents or just started, like what would you advise them on either how to get more leads, how to make more money? Like, where have you seen your success?
I think first up, like I mentioned, is just if you have some kind of mentor teaching you, somebody's been in the business for a long time, learning from them. But, you know, there's lots of resources, things I wish I'd done sooner. There's something called the CCIM. It's a designation, but it's just Certified Commercial Investment Member. And basically it's a, I think it's like four primary classes and then two elective classes. And it's education, but it walks you through some really good stuff. I've only taken the first class. It's somewhat expensive. I mean, it's not nothing crazy, but it adds up. And then you have to qualify. So you have to do a certain amount of sales. I can't remember the exact number, but there's several different ways you can qualify. So CCIM is really good. And I'm actually just wrapping up a program called Mossimo, which is a commercial real estate coaching program where it's kind of walking you through like all kinds of tactics, like marketing, you know, lead generation, how to promote your presence, all this stuff. It's great. I wish I had taken it way sooner. This is like the beginning of my sixth year, and I wish I had taken it the first or second year.
Yeah, absolutely. So the three things that we really like to key down on the show is one, how to make money, which we've kind of covered. The second one is building wealth. So what are you doing right now to take the money that you're generating in your active income as a commercial broker and turning that into long-term wealth?
Yeah, I think after a couple of years of doing brokerage, I realized, you know, you can spin your wheels and continually do brokerage and you can make a good amount of money selling real estate, but that's something that you have to do every day. It's a grind, never stops. So I realized pretty quickly I need to be buying properties when I can. So I started my hand in residential investing, which I'm really just learning as of this last year that you don't have to start in residential if you don't want to. You can jump right into commercial. But anyways, to answer your question, I've just bought some residential investment properties, some single family homes, and then some multifamily properties.
Gotcha. So if you had to do it over with, would you have just jumped straight into commercial or what would you have done?
Yeah, I think so. I still like residential. I still like residential, especially when you get into small multifamily, like 2 to 3 to 4 units. I think I would still be buying that. I still plan on trying to buy some more of that stuff this year. I don't know if I'd be buying any single family homes. Just because in residential real estate, you know, it's valued on comparable sales. So you're looking at what the property sold for next door in the neighborhood. And if you go and buy a, you know, $250,000 house in a $300,000 neighborhood and you put $100,000 into it, it might only be worth $300,000, not $350,000. Yeah. Commercial real estate, it's all valued on the income. So if you can increase the income by, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can increase the income. The value can be increased by just way, way bigger, bigger amounts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's something we're doing this year as well. A lot of people, like how we met, coaching Airbnb. A lot of people ask me, you know, am I planning on continuing to build my Airbnb portfolio? Maybe a little bit, but the real long-term value and wealth is in commercial real estate. I mean, when you can buy, you know, $1 million asset that has 10 units and you increase the income by such and such amount, and it overnight increases your net worth by $100,000 just because you increase the revenue. And that is extremely attractive to me and anybody listening to this. That should tell you where you need to go, whether you start in residential or commercial. Like it to me, it makes more sense to add 10 units at once that you can significantly increase your net worth and income overnight, compared to buying in a residential neighborhood for life, where you're kind of capped out at the overall value until the market appreciates and you have more room to grow. But yeah, love that, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the guys who I've learned a lot from said it only takes one deal to change your life in terms of, you know, commercial real estate. You could find one good deal that's under market rent, could be under, you know, you could just buy it at a good value. You could re-tenant it, change the leases to triple net, which just means where the landlord's pretty much not responsible for anything. And that alone could increase your value by, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, depending on the scale of the asset you're buying.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So what's like the long-term goal for you? Like, do you want 100,000 units? Like, what's the end goal for you? Like, if you can look into the future, you know, 40, 50 years, what's Graham doing and what does his life look like?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, you know, I want to serve, you know, I think you and I both share a faith in Jesus. And I think the biggest goal for me is to serve the Lord in everything that I'm doing. And then the second thing is to, you know, just be able to provide for my family and spend a lot of time with them, which I know you and I align a lot on those values, but, you know, I love real estate. So like, if I could be building a commercial real estate portfolio, that's what I would be wanting. You know, as long as I could do those first two things, then I'd be working on building a commercial real estate portfolio. And, you know, working with other people who are like-minded to do that, that would kind of be the dream. And I want to continue doing brokerage as a, you know, kind of like a day job, but less of that, more of buying my own commercial assets would be the goal.
Gotcha. Yeah, I love that, man. So what about preserving the wealth? So like that third thing, you know, we talk about building wealth. I'm sorry, we talk about making money, we talk about building wealth, and we talk about preserving it. Like, what is a long-term plan for you as far as preserving it, like protecting what you built? Like, have you gotten that far yet? What does that look like? Do you have any kind of estate planning in place? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten as far as having any kind of estate planning in place. I think I have about 8 units, which I'm, you know, happy with, but I'd like to continue to build that more. But really just continue to invest in real estate, because that's what I know. And that's what I do in, you know, day in and day out is commercial real estate brokerage and investment sales. So, you know, after I build my portfolio to a certain point that's kind of paying for everything that I want to do, you know, spend time with my family, travel, being able to get back some. Then after that, you know, who knows, I'll probably diversify some into like the stock market and stuff, but really focus mostly on real estate investing, and just continuing what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't think it's too early for you. I would talk to Keith Goss. He's my fiduciary. This dude is a wealth of knowledge. And I mean, anybody talking, if you want to get in touch with Keith, shoot me a message. I'll get you in touch with him. But he is very value driven. He will work with you and tell you exactly what you need to do, whether you're, you know, coming to him with a paycheck or not. Just a really great guy. So I would recommend at least having a conversation. This dude is, he's a real deal.
And he's for estate planning? Is that what you're talking about?
Everything. So he's a fiduciary. So unlike a financial planner that is incentivized on what products they try to get you to purchase or invest into, a fiduciary is the complete opposite. So they're motivated only by what's best for their client. They don't get incentivized to talk you into a 401k or Roth IRA or anything like that. They only talk about what's best for you and your situation. So it's much more valuable, in my opinion, than going down the street to a financial planner or somebody like that.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. I'll have to reach out to him.
Absolutely, man. Well, for anybody that is you know, kind of just starting out in the game, like they want to get to $10,000 a month as fast as possible. Like, what would you advise them to do? Like, whether it's get started in commercial real estate or something else, anything, like what would you advise them to do?
You know, I'm not there myself yet. But I think that from what I've seen, it seems like the key is to get some kind of, you know, it doesn't have to be a job, but you know, I love commission-based things because you can, you know, if you work hard, you can make more versus if you're in a 9-to-5, you have a set salary. So I think if you can get into some kind of commission-based selling, you know, save up a lot of money and then start investing in real estate. I think you can't go wrong with that, whether it's residential, commercial, or, you know, doing Airbnb, like you mentioned, that's something that's, you know, I've played in, doing some of the Airbnb investing with the duplex that I have, you know, that's how we got connected, like you mentioned. Yeah. So I think that's a good way to scale your passive income quickly, or, you know, semi-passive income faster. I think commercial, you can scale if you can find the right deal, which I haven't found yet. They're out there, but, you know, it just takes one of those deals. You could get a substantial amount of cash flow from that as well. But yeah, I think it seems like, you know, one of the quickest, simplest ways is to do either Airbnb or just some residential real estate investing. Commercial is definitely more of a long-term play. And you can find deals with a lot of cash flow, but there's just a higher barrier to entry, especially if you're not doing it every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I like for people just starting out, I like commission-based jobs. I mean, now, unless you're a lazy person that isn't willing to learn or grow and put in extra effort, don't go into a commission-based job. But
yeah,
if you're a hustler, like, I mean, you could easily crack, you know, 100 grand a year, 200 grand a year, sales, especially like when it's based solely on how much work you put in and the results you provide, like it's a no brainer if you're a hustler. But, again, if you're not willing to put in the work, don't go out and get a commission-based job.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're somebody who needs security, then don't do it either.
Yeah. If you need security and you need that paycheck every week, don't do it.
Yeah, no way.
Well, awesome, man. Appreciate everything you talked about, Graham. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Capital Connection Unplugged.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. We sure do appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show. This way you'll get updates as new episodes become available. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review and share the show with your friends. It is how new people find the show. Until next time.